Welcome to the Election 2007 podcast interviews. In this podcast series, candidates in the May 2007 polls tell you what they think about the various issues and problems facing the country. No sound bites, just complete answers to pressing questions so you can make an informed choice in May.
Welcome to another episode of Election 2007 podcast. Our guest for this podcast is Congressman Francis Escudero. Escudero is running for senator under the Genuine Opposition slate. Good evening, Chief Escudero.
Good evening, and it's an honor to be here.
Our first question is from Inquirer.net Editor-in-Chief J.V. Rufino.
Good evening, Congressman.
Good evening, J.V.
You know, the Philippines has been chugging along economically, not really soaring as some of its Asian neighbors. What do you think are the three most important problems keeping the Philippines from feeding all its people, sending all its kids to school, and giving them all the basic needs for a decent life?
First, insofar as being able to attract enough business to be able to provide enough jobs for people to earn enough to pay for whatever basic needs they might want to have, including education, food, clothing, and housing. The number one problem, so far as that is concerned, is power cost. Electricity simply costs, the cost of electricity is simply too high in our country in order to attract enough investments to be able to provide jobs for our citizenry and perhaps enable them to buy whatever it is they want and to educate their own children. All of the surveys conducted, either here or abroad, would point to the cost of power as the number one culprit. It's not even instability. It's not even the unions that we have here. It's not even the strikes that usually occur. It is power, and that is what we should resolve insofar as attracting businesses is concerned. Secondly, insofar as the economy is concerned and spending on social services, including education and health, it's a question of budgetary prioritization and allocation. Under the Constitution, highest budgetary priority must go and must be given to education. However, they have included some items which we call off-budget items to the budget. For example, the internal revenue allotment. Mm-hmm. And secondly, debt servicing. These two big-ticket items actually have a bigger allocation in our budget than education. And they were able to circumvent that particular consti provision by simply saying these are off-budget items, automatically appropriated, and need not pass through the budgetary process in Congress, both in the House and in the Senate. Third, perhaps, insofar as that particular issue or problem is concerned, would be corruption. The Philippines right now is ranked as one of the highest, not only in Southeast Asia, not only in East Asia, but also in the world, insofar as the corruption index is concerned. Transparency International, in many occasions, have been logging or ranking the Philippines at an increasing rate, compared to other countries which have improved insofar as their battle against corruption is concerned. For example, according to the recent data of the Department of Finance, we are losing approximately 200 billion pesos via corruption insofar as the capital outlay of government is concerned, approximately 70 billion pesos insofar as the MOE and other expenses of government are concerned, and about 180 billion from smuggling. Total all of these and you could construct X number of schools, X number of streets, X number of hospitals, and other potential social services that government can and should be able to afford if only it could curb, if not minimize, or totally eradicate corruption.
As a senator, how are you going to solve these problems?
You can only legislate. As a senator, as a member of Congress, you can only legislate. I'm of the firm belief na karamihan sa mga problema natin, hindi na bagong batas ang kailangan. One of my colleagues in Congress has this anecdote that he always tells us. When he first ran for Congress, he did not file a single bill while he was a member of Congress for 3 years. When he was seeking re-election, his constituency asked him, "Bakit ka namin boboto ulit? Ni isang bill wala kang final. Mambabatas ka pa man din." Ang sagot niya, simple lang, pero masakit. Sabi niya, "Kayo naman, wag niyo akong hanapan ng batas. 10 batas lang ang binigay sa inyo ng Diyos, hindi niyo pa sinusunod. Bakit ko pa dadagdagan? Eh kung sinusunod natin yung 10 utos ng Diyos, sabihin niyo nga sa akin kung may problema tayo. Huwag na yung 10, mahirap memorya niya, hindi ko rin kabisado. Yung 2 na lang. Nung dumating si Jesus, ginawa niyang 2. Respect and love thy father and your fellow man as much as yourself. Kung mahal mo kapwa mo, pagnanakawan mo ba, dadayain mo ba, lolokohin mo ba, sasaktan mo ba, o gagawa ka ng anumang masama sa kanya?" I'm of the firm belief na hindi bagong batas ang kailangan at solusyon natin. As a member of the Senate, as a member of Congress, we should all promise our people simple things. One, that we will bring their voice and their vote in the Senate insofar as issues brought forth before the Senate is concerned. And secondly, that we will exercise our powers to ensure that all of the laws that have been passed thus far are indeed implemented and followed to the letter by those who are supposed to implement them and by those who are supposed to follow them. dalawa lang ang gawin natin sa ating bansa. Sundin ang batas at ipatupad ang batas, maraming pagbabago tayong makikita sa ating bansa. The way or the mode I am referring to is the power of Congress of oversight and to conduct congressional inquiries in order to check on abuses of the executive.
But aren't these powers in aid of legislation? Isn't that the primary focus?
Not necessarily. There are two functions of Congress. One is oversight function, to ensure that the laws we have passed are indeed followed to the letter. And number two, if they cannot be followed to the letter, then we should find out what the reason is, if at all there is a need to amend or pass a corrective piece of legislation. But if not, it's simply calling the attention of the executive branch to follow the letter and intent of the law that Congress has passed previously.
I see. And our next question has to do with call centers. You know, most graduates, even of top schools, you know, they end up working as call center agents. Is this something you would support, or would you sort of promote entrepreneurship as an alternative way?
We should promote local entrepreneurs. We should be able to give them enough incentives insofar as being able to conduct and have their own business, concentrating on indigenous talent and local talent, or local products, or local raw materials. Yung call center is a temporary phenomenon para sa akin. Wala namang masama. Pero hindi rin naman tama na on the long term, yan na lang ang tayaan at asahan natin. Take for example, forward-looking countries like Singapore. I do not and cannot see why our country cannot do the same insofar as being forward-looking is concerned. 5-10 years ago, yung mga Chinese at Korean nationals at Indian nationals nagpupunta rito para mag-aral ng Ingles. As of today, ini-import na lang nila yung mga English teacher papuntang Korea, papuntang China, papuntang India para turuan yung kababayan nila mag-Ingles. We suffered a double whammy in so far as that is concerned. We lost out on what we may call student dollars, yung mga gusto sana matuto ng English dito, at yung kababayan natin na layo pa sa kanyang mahal sa buhay at yung kinikita niyang sweldo doon din niya siyempre ginagastos yung bahagi. We should be able to be forward-looking enough and not simply react to the current situation. We are in a position, given our placement in various countries in the world, to be able to predict or somewhat plan ahead insofar as the career path of our citizenry is concerned. Another example, imbis na yung mga ambassador at consul natin nagiging alalay at tour guide ng mga congressman, senador, sekretary o mga asawa nila o anak o kapatid, ang dapat sana nilang gawin trabaho. Alamin ko anong nangyayari o nagaganap sa bansang yon. Halimbawa, sa aking pagkakaalam sa Dubai, may eco-construct na hospital doon o kinoconstruct na matatapos sa year 2011. Alam nila kung anong klaseng skilled labor ang kailangan, alam nila kung anong klaseng medical personnel ang kailangan, at alam din nila kung ilan. Bakit hindi natin i-train at alamin natin yung mga pangailangan, at pag napunuan na natin yon, tama na rin. In Australia, that's how they do things. They look at the career path and the available professionals in the country, and whenever they find out that a particular career is being filled up, they simply communicate with the schools by increasing the quota, meaning yung average grade quota requirement for a particular course, or limiting the number of students that can take that particular course in order to redirect and direct their graduates according to the needs of their country or according to the needs of the market. Hindi natin ginagawa yon, wala tayong ginagawa kaugnay nun, pero kayang-kayang gawin natin yon. I think that's what government should do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hi, good evening. I'm Thea Alberto of Inquirer.net.
Hi, Thea. Good evening.
Hi, sir. Sir, for this campaign, how much do you intend to spend?
It depends on how much money we can raise. We work on a weekly basis. We plan for 1 week, and depending on the amount of money that we can raise for a given week, we adjust accordingly. I was interviewed once, and I was asked how much money I had in a bank, and that was as truthful as I could get. Of course, the interviewer did not ask me how much money I had. She asked me how much money I had in the bank. And I said, 200,000. I'm of the firm belief in what Kevin Costner said in the movie Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And we have thus far tried to build our campaign, build our name, build our plans, ambitions, and dreams for the country in the hope that the support will come. But insofar as studies are concerned, the administration bets are correct. To be able to run a credible campaign, you need about 100 to 120 million pesos to run a credible campaign. Kami, nangangarap kaming ma-raise yung pondong yon, pero kung hindi man, we are willing to adjust accordingly and make the necessary changes with respect to our strategy.
Mm-hmm. Sir, when you last ran for an elective post, how much did you spend?
By far, Muran, hindi kami umabot sa maximum spending requirement limitations provided for by law. Under the law, you can only spend 3 pesos for every registered voter. Under the law, a party can only spend 5 pesos for every registered voter, cumulative. In Sorsogon, we only have approximately 180,000 registered voters times 3. So that's approximately a little less than one. And we complied with the requirements of the law insofar as expenditure is concerned.
Sir, given the cost of campaigning and the lack of immediate impact legislation has on running a country, why run for senator? Why not mayor or governor or, again, a representative of Sorsogon?
Can't run for rep anymore of Sorsogon. I finished 3 consecutive terms. Another relative of mine is running for a local position, and the last thing I want would be an Escudero lineup for local positions. Thirdly, I don't think this is what I will be doing for the rest of my life. I would want to run for a higher position and find out, and I would be lucky enough to find out at age 37 if this is still what I will be doing. I have had the perspective of my district insofar as serving government is concerned, would want to broaden that perspective if I will be given the chance. If I would not be given that trust and chance by our people, then I guess it's time to move on in other fields insofar as my professional career is concerned, outside of politics, outside of government, where perhaps life might be easier and happier.
Sir, are there friends who have pledged already for the nation?
Yes, yun ang pinakamadaling gawin sa mundo, mangako. Ang pinakamahirap mangyari, ito pa rin yung pangako. Friends have pledged to help, some have actually helped, and we have somehow been able to make do this past week, this first week of the campaign.
For those who already helped you, sir, don't you think you would be beholden to them in the future? I mean, someday they would ask for a favor.
There's a basic distinction, and I draw the line there. If you ask for help and come and knocking at their doors begging, and they actually help you, then probably you are correct. But if you simply sit still and not move, and wait for people to offer help and volunteer their own help, whether it be financially or in kind, that's where the distinction lies. Yun hindi kanila hawak. Yun hindi pwede kang tumanggi. At kahit naman sa akin ngayon eh. Even if you look at it from the point of view of a person that you asked help from, you would be doing him a service, you would be doing his or her children a service, you would be doing the country a service, if you still did what you thought was right instead of simply doing what they wanted you to do, even if it was against your conscience, your belief system, and your principles. I've been in politics for 9 years. Wala pang nakapilit sa akin gumawa ng isang bagay na hindi ko gusto o hindi ako naniniwala. Marami na ring temptasyon na duman, pero nalampasan ko yon. At sana sa mga darating pantaon, malampasan ko pa rin at magkaroon pa rin ako ng matibay na paniniwala at lakas na sabihin pa rin no pag no at yes kung yes.
Sir, another topic. What are your views on political dynasties?
I am a beneficiary of a political dynasty, and there can be no doubt with respect to that. My father used to be the member of the representative of the 1st District of Sorsogon. He was appointed Secretary of Agriculture in 1996. And I ran for the same position in the same district in 1998. So you have to take with a grain of salt whatever it is I will be saying. I'm against political dynasties for the simple reason that it limits the voter's choice of candidates. Bakit mo lilimitahan yung pagpipilian niya? Dahil yung dynasty raw nakaset up na yung pamilya, kontrolado na nila yung boto sa lugar? I disagree. There have been many dynasties that were defeated in previous elections. Naniniwala pa rin ako. Kung gusto sa iyo ng tao, ikaw ang mananalo. Kung ayaw sa iyo ng tao, hindi ikaw ang mananalo. Bakit mo lilimitahan ang pwedeng pagpilian ng tao kaugnay ng gusto nilang botohan? Paano kung pagpipilian mo isang sugarol, isang matanda, isang drug addict, at isang siraulo talaga, at yung sunod na choice, nagkataong anak nung dating nakaupo? Pagbabawalan mo silang mamili at sabihin yun ang gusto nila at papwersahin mo silang pumili dun sa 4 or 5 na hindi naman talaga nila gusto. Take for example, the 2 remaining candidates in the GO slate who has a, one has a sister there and one has a father in the Senate right now. Para sa akin, hindi tamang pagbawalan sila tumakbo. But in the same manner, in the same breath, it is your right, it is within your right and the voters' right to say and decide. Will they still vote for them even if they have a father or sister there? Or will they not vote for them anymore because they have a father or sister there? It's completely up to the voter, and it's not up for us to decide and dictate upon them whom they will vote for, given the wide choices that should be made available to them.
But sir, don't you think it is ironic that you benefited from this so-called political dynasty, and yet you don't like, you know, the whole thing, the whole picture?
No, I benefited from it. Meaning, I'm the product of a dynasty in our district, in our province, perhaps. And I am against it, but I have not participated in any vote with respect to it, given the conflict of interest that I have, given that I'm a product of a dynasty. I don't think we should pass the political dynasty law, simply put, because it gives the image or impression that we don't trust the Filipino voter, that the Filipino voter cannot decide for himself or for herself what is best for the country. At the end of the day, it's still one person, one vote. Even if he's the child, wife, sister, brother, uncle of the incumbent, let the people decide whom they want to serve as member of Congress, as mayor, governor, or any other elective position.
Magandang gabi po. Ako po si Lira Fernandez.
Good evening, Lira.
Nagko-cover ako ng Team Unity.
Good luck.
Sir, meron pong marami siguro hindi alam tong bill na to na ikaw yung nag-propose, pero nagsi-circulate sa Yahoo groups, and this is about giving parang more teeth to the Animal Welfare Act. Hindi ka ba natatakot to lose voters with this bill, kasi di ba maraming Pilipino ang dog eaters?
Minana ko yung bill na yan na inumpisa ng tatay ko nung siya'y mambabatas pa lang. My father is a veterinarian by profession, and he used to be the dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine in UP. Some changes had to be made, and we filed the bill in order to pass corrective legislation. Yung takot na mawawala ng boto, hindi consideration sa amin yun, final namin yung bill. Marami ba? Ay.
So you'll push for it?
Yes. Yes, and we have been pushing for it.
In the next Congress?
No, actually, we still have time to finish it when we resume on June 4.
Anong status?
It's approved, I think, in the House, but it's pending approval in the Senate. Hopefully, if it is approved in the Senate by tomorrow, we still have time to pass it before we go on recess on June 4. Because if we don't, it will start again from scratch.
Basically, what does it say?
It simply increases the penalties for cruelty against animals, particularly dogs, because it doesn't seem to have any deterrent effect given the low penalties the previous law had.
That's from amount from how much?
I think from 1 to 6 years was the increase, if I'm not mistaken.
Basically, what drives your political ambition?
What drives my political ambition? The desire or the desire to be remembered beyond one's lifetime or after one has long passed away. Di ba may kasabihan sa Ingles, if you can't write a book, might as well be written about. I can't write a book. I can't sing, so I can't leave a CD behind. I can't act, so I can't leave a DVD behind. I can't write, so I can't leave a book behind. I would want somehow to be remembered beyond my lifetime for having done something good, something right. Something that the people actually felt. And the only thing I know is serving in government as a lawyer or as a professor. Wala pa kaming anak na misis ko. Wala pa ako maiiwan na mabuting tao siguro sa mundo para sabihin na ito yung pamana ko sa mundo. Right now, what I have is what I know I can do insofar as my present position is concerned. And that is my basic driving force insofar as entering politics is concerned and staying in politics is concerned. But politics, having said that, is not my end-all, be-all. I don't eat politics for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and whenever I sleep, I don't dream of politics. Hindi politika ang hangin na hinihinga ko. At maswerte siguro ako na sa edad na 37, nasa crossroad ako para malaman Ito pa ba ang gagawin ko o hindi na? Maghahanap pa ako ng ibang dahilan o rason para maski na papano maalala ko pagkatapos kong pumanaw o dito na talaga yung lugar para makuha at makita ko yon.
So what will make you get out of it?
Pag sinabi na sa akin ng tao na ayaw na nila sa akin at matalo ako sa eleksyon, I will not run for any other position after that.
After this election?
After this election.
And if you win, what...
And I hope it will not happen though, but...
And what will you be 6 years after?
What will I be 6 years after? I hope I will still be the same person, scruples and principles intact, very much like what I am now after 9 years in Congress. And I don't know if I will still seek re-election after that time.
I mean, no more political.
Well, it depends. May Senado pa ba pagdating ng panahong yon? Would there be an opening for a higher office later on? Any politician really who says that he's not thinking of running for higher office is not telling the truth. Any and every politician, at the back of his mind at least, would be thinking, what if? And for as long as reality hasn't slapped them in the face, I think that possibility remains open in so far as everyone is concerned.
So, is losing one of your worst fears in politics?
I don't want to lose. Nobody wants to lose, but I'm not afraid of it. It's a reality and it's a fact that one has to accept and live by. But I would consider myself lucky because should that happen at my age right now, 37, I still have the rest of my life to do other things. I think the more painful part is losing when you're already 65, 70, or 80. Wala ka nang ibang gagawin pa kung sakasakali matapos nun. I consider myself blessed that at age 37, I will be given the privilege and opportunity to know what to do for the rest of my life henceforth, depending on what the outcome of the election will be.
Sir, would you still recall how much personal income tax did you pay in the last 6 years?
I honestly don't know. It's my accountant friend who takes care of it. I think we paid... I'm not mistaken, 200 or 300 plus thousand, excluding the withholding tax part. One of the things we take very good care of is our income tax return and statement of assets and liabilities. Being in the opposition, we wouldn't want government or the administration to be able to find a gap in so far as the things that we should be doing, given the fact that we have been dishing out criticisms left and right to officials in the administration. But I assure you, anything we have stated in our ITR and SAL is exactly what we have, is exactly what we should pay, and is exactly what we earned in the past so many years that I have been in office.
Sir, how do you feel about Cesar Montano's joining Team Unity?
At least may guwapo na dun. It's his right. It's his right to run for public office. Nobody should take that right away from him. For as long as he complies with the qualifications for the office, meaning he is of age, he's a natural-born Filipino, he's able to read and write, he's a resident of the Philippines for 2 years previous to the election, and he is a registered voter. I think nobody can say or claim that he cannot run for this particular post that he is running for. On the part of the administration, I ask them, is this an admission that they are taking back everything they said against the FPJ in 04? Or are they saying it was only wrong in 04, but it's now right insofar as they are concerned for this particular election in 07? I'm not taking anything away from Mr. Montano. It's his right to run. At the end of the day, it's still one person, one vote. Let the people decide who they want to serve as senator of the Republic, insofar as the 12 vacant seats are concerned.
Hi, sir. I'm Joel. I cover the defense group.
Hi, Joel. Good evening.
Just an overview. What bills will you prioritize if you're elected?
Bills basically institutionalizing first and foremost the system or theory being adopted by the Gawad Kalinga group insofar as reviving and restoring the dignity of every Filipino is concerned via their programs associated with housing. Second would be ensuring that quality education is made available to anyone who might want to study not only up to high school but up to the tertiary or collegiate level. Third, would be bills that would ensure that the ample and adequate protection of human rights and for penalties against those who might want or should violate these human rights, of basic human rights of our people. Fourth would be strengthening the oversight and legislative powers of Congress as against the executive in order to prevent abuse and in order to prevent any potential or possibility for corruption that may occur in government, particularly in the executive branch.
So how do you increase the oversight powers?
The rules of the House or the rules of the Senate for that particular matter, because according to the Constitution, the Senate and the House would be supreme insofar as their rulemaking powers are concerned, and this can be done by each chamber independently of the other. And such rules would be respected by the courts given the theory of separation of powers.
So, in Congress, you're always outvoted by the majority. How do you work around this?
At the end of the day, in a democracy, it's still the majority that should be followed. Tama man o mali. Moral man or immoral, just or unjust, in a democracy you follow only one rule, what the majority wants. Let history decide who was right and who was wrong. Let history decide if at all, if it was indeed a correct decision or vote, or if it was a wrong decision or vote. Trabaho ng minority na matalo talaga sa botohan dahil ang tawag nga sa amin minority. Pag nanalo kami sa botohan, hindi na minority ang tawag sa amin, majority na siguro ang tawag sa amin. Having said that, in fiscalizing, we don't expect to win a vote. In fiscalizing, we simply expect to clarify certain issues that may be clouded. In fiscalizing, we simply seek to make them accountable for whatever it is that they have done or failed to do. And in fiscalizing, we seek to prevent or avoid previous mistakes or misdeeds committed by officials in government. Even if we lose the vote, for as long as we get that message across, I think we would have been able to perform our duly sworn duty already.
Sir, you mentioned human rights. So, given the spate of political killings and journalist killings, how do you intend to stop this?
Trabaho ng executive yan. May mga common denominator ang lahat ng mga pagpatay o political killings na nagaganap sa ating bansa. Una, palagi naka-motorsiklo yung bumabaril. Pangalawa, dalawa palagi sila. Pangatlo, naka-bonnet. Pangapat, 45 ang gamit. Panglima, hindi nalalayo ng 1 kilometro sa pinakamalapit na kampo ng sundalo o ng pulis. At pang-anim, ni isang suspect hanggang ngayon, bagaman 700 mahigit na ang pinapatay. At sa araw na ito, may binaril na naman sa aming distrito sa lalawigan ng Sorsogon, yung ABC president ng munisipyo ng Pilar na malapit na kaibigan ko pang si Jones Clares. Hanggang ngayon, wala pa rin silang suspect. Clearly, it is government that is behind these killings and clearly it is government that must do something about it. Matagal nang pinaparusahan sa ilalim ng batas ang pagpatay ng kapwa natin. Hindi na kailangan magpasa pa ng panibagong batas ng Kongreso na pinagbabawal yung pagpatay sa kapwa. Kailangan lamang ipatupad yon. Kailangan lamang tiyakin na sinusunod yon, partikular na ng mga miyembro ng armed forces of the Philippines. The only thing that Congress can do is to exercise its strengthened powers of oversight to ensure that indeed these laws are followed and officials who are amiss with respect to their duties and functions would be held accountable by dismissing them from office or holding them accountable via command responsibility nung failure ng peace and order dun sa lugar nila.
So, what should GMA do to stop the killings?
Start disciplining members of the military and heads should start rolling. Si General Palparan halimbawa, maraming alingaw-ngaw na siyang may kagagawan sa walang humpay na pagpatay ng mga miyembro ng makakaliwa o progresibong grupo. Inimbestigahan ba siya? Sinuspindi ba man lang siya? Bakit kapag ka mayor, governor o kakampi ng oposisyon ang medyo nadapa o natisod, suspendido agad? Bakit kapag kakakampi niya, kaalyado niya at tumutulong sa kanya, kahit preventive suspension man lang ay wala? A chilling effect must be sent to the hierarchy of the armed forces of the Philippines and the PNP insofar as these political killings are concerned, that government will not stand idly by and watch as our citizens, even if they disagree with the government, are being killed and shot one by one.
So, whose head should roll, sir, does it include Esperon?
Command responsibility, Esperon, yes, would be one. The commanding general, insofar as a particular area or field is concerned, would be two. Third would be the respective regional or provincial police directors who cannot even produce a single suspect insofar as these killings are concerned.
Sir, you also mentioned about improving the educational system. What laws do you intend to pass?
Isa lang siguro. Yung budget kada taon to increase instead of decrease the budget for state colleges and universities to be able to enable them rather to offer their services to a wider number of students in the provinces. Ang nangyayari ngayon for the past 3 years, pababa ng pababa ang budget na pinapropose ng administrasyon ni Pangulong Arroyo sa state colleges and universities. Gusto nila maging self-sustaining ito at ayaw nila makipag-compete daw ang mga eskwelahang ito sa private schools. Para sa akin, mali yun. Dapat makipag-compete ang state colleges and universities sa private schools in order to hold them in check. Alam nyo ba na pag tinataasan ng gobyerno ang sweldo ng mga teachers sa public school, nag-o-object ang mga private school? Sa kadahilanan na mahihirapan na raw silang makipagsabayan sa gobyerno sa pagbayad ng sweldo ng mga teacher. Eh mali naman nga yata yun. I think government, for as long as it can afford it, must be able to set the bar insofar as salaries are concerned so that the private sector would follow. And number two, government must also be able to set the bar insofar as the lowered cost of education is concerned so that the private sector would also follow suit. Otherwise, they will simply lose out in the business or field that they entered into insofar as educating our youth is concerned. Para sa akin, yun lang ang kailangan gawin ng pamahalan, a reverse of what the present administration is doing.
So you mentioned about increasing the budget, but do we need to build more state colleges and universities?
I don't think so. For as long as we have one for each province, that would be enough. Providing them with adequate money in order to maintain their facilities and expand perhaps their facilities would be enough without necessarily enacting via a law another state college and a university in another municipality or city for as long as there is already one in the province.
Sir, on the issue of taxes, do you think Congress should pass more?
No. Before government can knock at our doors and ask for more money via taxes, they must prove two things first. One, that they have been collecting the best that they can, existing taxes that are being imposed. Two, that they have been trying to spend our money wisely and prudently, but it simply is not enough. Hindi nila pinakita yun nung pinasa nila yung VAT. Hindi nila pinatunayan sa atin yun nung pinasa nila yung expanded value-added tax. Bakit tayo pumayag na ganun-ganun na lamang? Pangatlo, under the Constitution, taxation must always be based on the taxpayer's ability to pay. Hindi sinunod sa VAT yun. Tayong lahat tinamaan ng VAT nung ito'y pinasa ng Kongreso, mayaman man o mahirap, may trabaho man o wala. We were proposing to them a countermeasure. Sabi namin, why don't we pass what we proposed in the opposition, an equalization tax? Ano yung equalization tax? It's basically a tax on cell phones. How would we be taxing cell phones? Again, bearing in mind, yung taxation must be based on the taxpayer's ability to pay. Prepaid ka, postpaid?
Postpaid. The office.
How much are you paying per minute? Do you even know? All of the persons I asked if they were postpaid, kung magkano yung binabayaran nila, can't even say how much per minute they're paying. Prepaid, it's at approximately 8 pesos per minute. postpaid, depending on your plan, it's about 4 pesos to 6 pesos per minute. There's a difference of approximately 2 to 4 pesos. Yun yung equalization tax na gusto sana namin gawin. Yung differential na yun, ibabayad sa gobyerno. So, immediately, socialized yung tax mo. If you're paying 4 pesos per minute, it means you have a high income or heavy user ka. Kaya nga mura lang eh. So, you'd be paying a price differential of 4 pesos for every minute of usage of your cell phone. So, yung mayaman magbabayad nun. Kung medyo hindi ka ganun kayamanan, you pay 2 pesos which will go to government. Ayaw mo nang ganun, ayaw mo magbayad ng tax, then get prepaid. And you will still pay the same amount of 8 pesos per minute. Walang magbabago din. Based on our computations, it is less than their projected collections from the VAT by only about 4 billion pesos. Na-socialized pa sana, hindi pa tayo tinamaang lahat. Nakabase pa sa usage ng bawat isa, hindi yung pati kanin, babawasan ng bibilin, noodles, babawasan ng bibilin, dahil lamang sa pagtaas ng buwis.
Will you see Calipil of the iba?
Yes, we tried to, we have been trying to, and we will continue to do so.
Sir, what's your agenda for the military? Do you think it needs more budget, like what President Arroyo is saying?
The military must be reoriented. We must be able to provide a staffing pattern for the military which has not yet been done in the so many years it has been in existence. For example, tinetrain mo ang sundalo, binibigyan mo ng mataas na sweldo para maging sundalo, private man, koronel o kapitano, sarhento. Kaya lang sa loob ng kampo, yung nagbabantay ng kampo, sundalo. Dapat security guard. Yung naglilinis ng pinggan sa mess hall, sundalo. Dapat dishwasher. Yung naglilinis ng plato sa lamesa, dapat waiter. Sundalo pa rin. Yung typist sa opisina ng general, sundalo. Driver, sundalo. Driver ng asawa ng general, sundalo pa rin. Bodyguard ng mga anak, sundalo pa rin. Messenger sa opisina ng general, sundalo pa rin. Ang taas na sweldo binibigay natin sa sundalo, ang ginagampan na naman nilang tungkulin, walang kinalaman sa pagiging sundalo. Mas mura kung mag-approve na kasi sila, hindi ko maintindihan kung bakit di nila ginagawa, ng staffing pattern. Non-military functions or civilian functions must be performed by civilian personnel. Mas mura ang sweldo nila kaysa sa sweldo ng sundalo na napakaraming benepiso. 1. 2. We must reorient our military's needs and requirements insofar as the modernization is concerned. Sa tingin nyo ba may lulusog pa sa Pilipinas o mag-aatake o mag-i-invade sa Pilipinas in the next 5 decades or even 10 decades or 100 years? Hindi na uso ang lusoban ng bansa ngayon. Ang uso, iti-take over muna lang ekonomiya ng bansa kung sakasakali. We can't even defend the Philippines, which is an archipelago. And I don't understand why the Philippines keeps on insisting to buy an F-16. Kahit gano'ng kagaling ang piloto natin, kung iisa lang naman yan, at 15 yung F-16 ng kabilang bansa, kukuyugin lang naman yung nag-iisang F-16 natin, baliwala yun eh. Tinanong ko sila kung bakit nila gusto yan. Sabi nila, tayo nila nga walang F-16. Eh ano naman ngayon? Isang F-16 kaya natin bumili ng 13 helicopter. Para sa akin, internal security ang dapat natin pagtuunan ng pansin. Internal threat ang dapat nating tugunan at hindi external threat. Alam nyo ba, nag-aambisyon pa ang AFP natin na bumili ng aircraft carrier na maliit daw at isang submarine. Aanhin naman natin yon, utang na loob. We should accept and live with our limitations. We should accept that there are 4 elements of a state. Sovereignty, territory, government, and people. The most important among these 4 should always be people. Hanggat wala pa tayong sapat na pera na gagastusin para sa mga kababayan natin, huwag na muna tayong mag-imbisyon ng kung ano-ano pa na hindi naman nakalatag para sa pangunahing pangailangan ng mga kababayan natin.
But how do you fight the communist insurgency in Abu Sayyaf?
That's internal security. It's still not external security.
What should the military invest in? What hardware do you think?
Choppers. More personnel in the field, because they will have a bigger budget to support our soldiers, because this will now entail a less amount of, or lesser amounts insofar as salaries are concerned, because we're paying civilian personnel. Ang sweldo ng sundalo ngayon humigit kumulang 13,000 o 14,000. Ang sweldo ng isang contractual, halimbawa na secretary, is about 7,000 or 8,000 pesos. For every item that you get, you are able to save approximately 5,000 pesos per month. Malaking bagay yon, malaking pagkakaiba yon sa operational expenses na pwede mong mabigay sa mga platoon at sa mga battalion natin sa field. The money is available if only government will be prudent enough in so far as spending our money is concerned. I think we can easily make do with what we have in so far as realizing our ambitions and dreams or even our objectives for any given year is concerned.
Sir, are you in favor of limiting the scope of the commission and appointments in the promotion of military officers?
Yes, I think it should be restudied, I think it should be limited, and I think it should be depoliticized.
How do you depoliticize the military?
By simply limiting its scope either to higher officials only or one time lang for colonels only. I am still not convinced insofar as which particular option to take. At one point in time, they should pass through the commissioner appointments, but not at each and every stage after they are promoted to the position of colonel. Masyado namang mahirap na dalawa o tatlong beses sila dadaan doon. Masyado na talaga silang mapopoliticize kung sakasakali.
Magandang gabi, Congressman Acasinono Espina. Marami sa nakikinig ngayon sa podcast na to ay mga kababayan natin na sa ibayong dagat na doon naninirahan na doon ang tatrabaho. At ika nga, mga bagong bayani, sila ang they prop the economy up, but from the horror stories we all have heard, kung wala rin nagbabago din sa kalagayan nila, anong maaasahan nila sa inyo pag naboto mga kayo?
Una sa lahat, magandang gabi din sa iyo. Tinataguri na tinatawag nga nating bayani, pero hindi naman bayani ang pagtrato natin sa kanila. Halimbawa, hanggang ngayon wala pang formal na opisina tayo sa ibang bansa sa pamamagitan man ng embahada o konsulado na mangangalaga lamang sa kapakanan at karapatan nila. Hindi ko maintindihan kung bakit hanggang ngayon hinahayaan pa rin nila na mga pribadong kumpanya ang pumasok sa mga kontratang mangangalaga sa ating mga kababayan sa ibang bansa at hindi ang pamahalaan natin mismo ang pumasok sa mga kontrata para matiyak na pwede natin silang pangalagaan at protektahan sa klaw ng bandila ng ating bansa at hindi yung pangalan lamang ng kumpanyang nag-recruit sa kanila. Bilang senador, papasa at pinapanukala namin at ginawa na namin sa kamara yan na gobyerno na lamang ang siyang makipagkakasundo sa iba't ibang bansa at yung mga pribadong kontrata ay dapat masaklaw ng pangmalawakan at bansa sa bansang kasunduan kaugnay ng pagdadala at pagpapadala at pag-hire ng mga empleyado na Pilipino sa ibang bansa. Pangalawa, matagal nang pinag-uusapan ang isang pantulong para sa ating mga kababayan na nagtatrabaho sa ibang bansa. Hindi lamang sa pamamagitan ng reaksyon kung sakasakaling may problema na, kung hindi sa pamamagitan ng pagkakaroon ng aktwal na serbisyo ng mga pribadong kumpanya ang gumagawa ngayon. Marami sigurong tututol na bakit makikipagkompetensya pa ang pamahalaan sa mga pribadong kumpanya, halimbawa na nagbibigay ng serbisyong remittance, halimbawa na nagbibigay ng serbisyong libreng tawag o mas murang tawag sa kanilang mga kamag-anak. Gobyerno ang dapat nagbibigay niyan sa kanila bilang pagkilala sa napakalaki nilang kontribusyon sa ating bansa. May isang bagay lang na hindi natin pwedeng isabatas. Merong isang masamang epekto rin ang pagkakaroon ng OFW sa iba't ibang parte ng mundo. At yan ay pagkakaroon ng mga kamag-anak nilang naninirahan dito na hindi na nagtatrabaho at umaasa na lamang sa padala ng kanilang kamag-anak sa ibang bansa. Dapat may konkretong programa ang pamahalaan para sa mga kapamilya ng mga kababayan nating nagtatrabaho sa ibang bansa upang sa gayon hindi masayang ang kanilang oras at panahon at nakanganga na lang na lamang at naghihintay na lamang ng biyaya mula sa kamag-anak nilang nagpapakakuba sa iba yung dagat. The phenomenon of the OFWs have made our country a consumer-driven country and an economy that's consumer-driven. Hindi maganda at tama yon. Marapat at dapat ma-channel ng tama ang pinapadalang pera ng mga kababayan natin dito para hindi lamang gamitin na panggasto sa araw-araw ng pangailangan kung hindi magkaroon ng pangmatagalang investment at capital outlay ang mga kababayan natin upang pag-retire nila, may pakinabang naman sila sa kanilang pinaghirapan at pinagpuhunang sweldo sa ibang bansa.
Talking of consumer-driven economy nga, pinagmamayabang natin yung natural resources natin. We have minerals, we have lots of minerals, yung natawag natin renewable energy sources, we have isa sa pinamalaking resource in the world. Pero ba't di natin napapakinabangan yun?
Sinusubukan ng pakinabangan ng gobyernong ito sa pamamagitan ng pagbenta niyan sa mga banyaga o dayuhan. Hindi ako sang-ayon doon. Alam mo, hindi naman natin kailangan pakinabangan lahat ng yan ngayon, sa araw na ito, sa buwan na ito, sa taong ito. Kasama dapat ng responsibilidad natin ang pangalagaan ng bahaging yan para sa mga saling lahi at mga darating panghenerasyon. Hindi tama na ubusin natin lahat yan ngayon at tayo mismo ang lumigaya dahil sa mga resources na yan. Dapat bahagi ng programa at plataforma ng anumang pamahalan. Ang una, paggamit lamang ng angkop at tamang parte at halaga ng mga resources na yan para sa pangangailangan lamang natin. At pangalawa, tiyakin ang pagkakaroon ng sapat pang maiiwan para sa mga darating na henerasyon. Ang pulisiya ng pamahalan ay hindi tama sa aking pananaw patungkol sa paggamit ng resources natin o mga likas na yaman na bukod-tangi sana sa Pilipinas. Malawak ang lupain natin pero hanggang ngayon ang nakakapitalize pa lamang natin ay humigit kumulang 12%. Marami pa tayong untapped na mga resources na hindi natin magamit-gamit dahil kulang ang puhunan at ang nagiging solusyon ng gobyerno, ibenta na lamang yan sa dayuhan. Hindi tama yon. Dapat gumawa at bumuo tayo ng sariling kakayahang gawin yan at hindi natin ipaubayan na lamang sa mga dayuhan ang paggawa ng bagay na yan. Repatriation ng domestic profits na kinikita nila ang mangyayari at hindi rin lang yan ikawunlad ng ating bansa sa short, medium o long term.
So sa ngayon pa lang, naiisip ka na bang panukalang batas para matugunan yan?
Ulitin ko siguro yung sinabi ko kanina, hindi bagong batas ang kailangan, patupad lang natin. Dati nang bawal pumasok ang dayuhan sa pag-exploit ng natural resources natin. Hindi ko maintindihan bakit sa pamamagitan ng EO ng AO ay nabibigyan nila ng chance ang pumasok ang mga dayuhang yan na nasa circumvent o naiikutan ang kasalukuyang batas na klaro naman ang pagbabawal. Oversight function ng Senado o ng Kongreso ang dapat gamitin dyan para paalala sa mga negosyanteng ito at sa pamahalan ang provision ng saligang batas na nagbabawal at nagsasabing bawal yan.
Last year, may dalawang major na issues na halos umagaw sa eksena. Yung Subic rape case at yung patuloy nga na pamamaslan at ang anti-terrorism bill. Ano sa tingin mo ang mas malaga? National sovereignty or international commitment, human rights or security?
Tao pa rin sa kaduluduluhan. Gaya na nasabi ko, apat ang elemento ng isang estado. Pamahalan, kasarinlan ng soberenya, teritory o lupain, at pang-apat tao. Timbangin anumang araw ng linggo, anumang oras ng araw, anumang araw ng buwan. Palagi kong pipiliin at palagi mas matimbang at mabigat sa akin ang tao. Timbangin ang kasarinlan at tao, tao pa rin ako. Timbangin gobyerno o teritory at tao, sa tao pa rin ako. Ano mang iso na pagpipilian ng dalawang yan, palaging tao ang pipiliin ko. So kung karapatang pantao, dignidad ng kababayan natin ang pag-uusapan, palaging mas matimbang sa akin yan kesa anumang iso na pwedeng itapat yan.
Nilitanong nila siguro, coming from Bicol, isa sa riyong pinaka-apektado nga ng insurgency. At, malamang, may ideya ka naman ng mga ugat nito. Paano dapat tugunan yan? Tama ba ang pagtugon ngayon ng gobyerno sa problema?
Ang pagpatay sa mga miyembro ng progresibong grupong nagsisimpatya daw sa mga makakaliwang grupong humahawak ng armas para maisulong ang kanilang paniniwala ay hindi tama. Walang pinagkaiba ang gobyerno sa kanila kung gagawin lamang nila yan. Pangalawa, hindi rin tama at hindi rin ako sang-ayon na ubusin na lamang sila sa pagiging miyembro sa Kongreso sa pamamagitan ng pagiging at pagkakaroon ng mga party list groups dyan. Ayan na nga't nakikilhok sa proseso ang bahagi ng dating grupong yan. Pilit pa natin tinutulak pabalik sa bundok imbis na papunta sa sentro at papasok sa mga prosesong legal na kinikilala ng ating saligang batas. Pangatlo, hindi rin tama na patayin ng kapwa Pilipino ang kapwa Pilipino anuman ang kanyang paniniwala. Para sa akin ang solusyon ay iisa lamang. pinag-iba yung pagpapaliwanag at pinag-iba yung atensyon sa mga lugar na ito dahil ang ugat ng anumang insurhensiya dito man o sa ibang bansa ay kahirapan, kawalan ng pag-asa at kawalan ng katarungan kung sakasakaling may nangape o may gumawa ng mali sa kanila. Tatlong bagay na dapat tugunan ng sinumang pamahala na nagnanais burahin ang insurgency sa kanilang lugar. Hindi sa pamamagitan ng barel, hindi sa pamamagitan ng bala na susolusyonan yan. Ang solusyon ay matatagpuan lamang sa tunay at di maikakaila na pagbabago at pag-angat ng kalidad ng buhay sa mga lugar na yan. At pangalawa, pagtiyak na ang katarungan ay tunay na magagawad sa kanila, sino man ang magkasala, sino man ang maging biktima, sino man ang mabenepisuhan. Yan ay nagawa na sa ibang parte ng Pilipinas, subalit tila nahihirapan silang gawin sa kabikulan, partikular na dahil na siguro sa kawalan ng atensyon na binibigay sa kabikulan dahil siguro para sa punto de vista ng ilang mga politiko, kokonti lang naman daw ang botante sa Bicol. Kung iyong tutusin, ang buong rehiyon ng Bicol na binubuo ng 6 na probinsya, mas malaki pa ang Pangasinan at malayong mas malaki pa ang Cebu. Marahil dahil dyan, hindi binibigyan ng karampatang atensyon ng mga politikong nasa national level ang aming rehiyon sa Bicol. Marahil panahon na rin yan at rason yan kung bakit nararapat na magkaroon ng kinatawan ang Bicol, hindi lamang sa Senado, hindi lamang sa Kongreso, kung hindi sa iba't ibang antas, level at opisina ng pamahalan.
Good evening, sir. Alex Villafaña po. Nagpo-cover po ng Infotech sa Inquirer.
Magandang gabi din sa Alex.
What are your thoughts regarding the automation of elections?
Hindi solusyon yan para magkaroon tayo ng malinis na halalan. Ang solusyon para magkaroon tayo ng malinis na halalan ay hindi yung paggamit ng computer. Yon ay pagtiyak na laganap nating mapaparating ang resulta ng eleksyon sa lalong madaling panahon sa pinakamaraming tao. Upang sa gayon kung may kagustuhan man o motibo o plano silang dayain o baguhin ang resulta, hindi na nila magagawa yan. Our counter-proposal in so far as the automated election law is concerned was very simple. Buy a digital camera costing about 10,000 pesos. Buy a printer costing about 3,000 to 5,000 pesos. And simply take a digital image of the election return in every precinct and print as many copies as you can. Under the e-commerce law, that would be considered as an official copy of the return and leave about 100 copies in the precinct so that anyone who might want to get a copy of the result can easily get one. Unlike now, there are only about 7 or 9 copies, I think, under existing law of the election return. In addition to that, via the net, napakadaling batuhin ang impormasyon na yan at isang programa lang ang kailangan mo para meron kang real-time result ng election at the national level. Yun ang solusyon para sa akin para maiwasan ang dayaan at para sa lalong madaling panahon malaman natin ang resulta ng eleksyon. Not this computerized voting scheme being provided by the AES.
Sir, what if in a computerized system in the elections, it opens opportunities for Filipinos abroad to vote online?
That possibility is already available to them now. But the question will always be safeguards. The question will always be, how do you ensure that indeed the vote that we will be counting here by the net is the vote, is the same vote that they cast wherever they may be? Secondly, there is that problem of having a hard copy. There must be a hard copy of the vote that a particular Filipino located anywhere in the world cast. That he gave a particular candidate. Hindi tamang walang hard copy man lang yun dahil kung magka-problema o aberya, paano mo pa malalaman kung talagang nanalo nga yung pinroklama o hindi siya dapat pinroklama dahil talo naman talaga.
Sir, related pa na po sa IT, meron po ba kayong mga plano, mga panukalang batas na susulong pagdating sa information communications technology sa Pilipinas?
Pagpapalawak lang siguro pag-update pa ng ating e-commerce law upang sa gayon ay magkaroon ng legal na basihan anumang kontratang pinasukan, anumang kasundo ang pinasukan sa pamamagitan ng internet. Yun siguro magiging konsentrasyon ko kasi yun ang naiintindihan at nalalaman ko bilang abogado at bilang dating teacher na nagtuturo ng abogasiya sa mga ka-eskwela ko noon sa UP. Ang konsentrasyon ko ay patungo sa direksyon na yan in so far as e-commerce law is concerned.
Sir, tingin niyo po ba yung sa e-commerce act po ngayon, medyo kulang pa po yung
nangyari.
Kulang pa yon dahil napakaraming development, napakaraming technological advances sa internet na hanggang sa ngayon ay hindi pa natin lubusang naiintindihan o nakikilala o nakikita yung legal na implication niyan. Siguro konting pagdaloy pa ng taon, about 3 to 5 years, bago natin mahabol ang kasalukuyang technological development. But when that time comes, balikan na naman, maghahabol ka na naman sa bilis ng maaari mong magawa at gawin sa pamamagitan ng internet.
Sir, last question po. Regarding po sa mga gay and lesbian rights, sir, would you be pushing for legalization of civil unions between gays and lesbians?
No. For the simple reason, not because I disagree with it, for the simple reason that I don't think the Filipino and the Filipinos and our country is ready for that at this point in time. It may come in the future, it may come at some future date, but not at this point in time. I may be wrong, I may be mistaken, but that is how I view it insofar as the present situation and circumstance is concerned.
Citing what factor, sir?
Yung sarili ko. Butante rin naman ako, Pilipino rin naman ako. May mga pinangahawakan din naman akong paniniwala. Sa aking pananaw at opinion, hindi pa nakahanda at hindi pa handa ang ordinaryong Pilipino. Kabilang na siguro ako doon at dadalin ko yung boses na yan at yung opinion na yan sa Senado kung sakasakali, until and unless it has been proven and shown that indeed the Filipino is ready for it already, I'm not willing to support such a measure. Ang aking puntaw sa pusong pasasalamat sa pagkakataon at chance ito upang sa isang makabagong paraan mapakinggan ang boses at tinig ng lahat ng kumakandidato sa pagka-senador, administrasyon man o oposisyon. Nais ko lamang pong ipabatid na sana sa darating na halalan, mabigyan ng pagkakataon at chance ang mga nakababatang kandidato mula sa magkabilang panig sa paniniwala at paninindigan na ang kabataan sa ngayon hindi lamang dapat ituring pag-asa, ang kabataan sa ngayon dapat ituring maaasahan na ng bayan. Dahil hindi po kapansanan ang kawalan ng edad at hindi kapansanan din o kakulangan ang kawalan ng karanasan.
You're welcome, Congressman Tudero. Best of luck in the campaign.
Likewise, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Election 2007 podcast of Inquirer.net. No part of this podcast may be reproduced without the written consent of Inquirer.net. For more information, comments, or suggestions, you can email us at election2007podcast@inquirer.net. That's ELEKSYON2007podcast@inquirer.net. Produced by Creative Voices Productions. All rights reserved 2007.